Good morning and welcome back to the verse by verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word. That is our hand car washing business in the Powell Shopping Center in Churchill on Highway 11. There, you can get your car washed by hand. We do a really good job at a fair price, and we work to earn our money to support, well, not only our family, but to support this business ministry. And the verse-by-verse teaching aspect of the business is the reason we do it. You know, it's called the Wash and Word for a reason. We wash your car, but the Word also goes forth. And we do it in a verse-by-verse format. And you could listen right here on this radio station Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. Or you can go into the parking lot of the Wash and Word. We have a small radio transmitter that transmits 150 feet in the parking lot. And we play this message along with the other ones from this week on a loop. And they play all day long, repeating themselves while we are open. So you can come in, and while you're eating your pals, you can listen to the message, or while you're waiting to get your car washed, you can turn to 107.1 FM and hear these messages. Now, we are a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, and so with that being said, we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday, and we are in the book of John, chapter 5, and we left off reading, just touching on verse 19, which is where we'll pick it up today. And we, just by way of quick summary, they are... The Pharisees, that is, are trying to really hard to kill Jesus already. You know, Jesus planted a seed by healing the man on the Sabbath day, and then immediately following that up with equating himself with Almighty God. So they went from being mad and intrigued at this healing of the Sabbath on the Sabbath to flat out blasphemy and seeking a way to kill Jesus. But as we talked about in our last message, truth has a way of piquing ears, even offensive truth, because the truth, no matter how offensive, is intriguing. And a person will listen to truth because there's something about truth that touches the innermost part of a human. And we talked about the world today, especially in America, we need brave truth tellers today. We need people who are not afraid to speak the entirety of God's word, to leave nothing out and to speak the parts that offend today and to speak the parts that that so many pastors and churches are afraid to bring up in their congregations because they fear persecution. They fear people being offended and leaving. They fear the tithes going down. But Jesus, he went straight to the heart every single time. And we left off talking about the brief example in Mark chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, where King Herod, who had John the Baptist put in prison, would sneak down to the jail bars. And whether John the Baptist even knew he was listening or not, John the Baptist never stopped preaching truth. And he would preach truth from that dungeon jail cell. And Herod was intrigued enough that even though he was being called out by John the Baptist, he would still go and listen to this man. And I love that verse because even though he was condemned by the truth, he was exposed by it, yet he was drawn to it just the same. That is why I believe verse by verse Bible teaching is the most important way to properly edify and prepare the body of Christ today for what is coming, not just today, but tomorrow and very soon. And so we can ask the question that Pontius Pilate asked at Jesus' trial. And that question was, what is truth? Well, we are going to look at that, but consider this in verse 19. If the very Son of God, by his own admission, can do nothing without God, what makes you think that you can? Let me read the verse and I'll reread that point. Verse 19 says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so that point again is, if the very Son of God, by his own admission, can do nothing without God, what makes you think that you can? And as we read through the rest of this chapter, consider the underlying theme It is the presence and the power and the person of God in all things. Jesus did what he saw his Father doing. That's what he said. You see, what Jesus did is he watched and he prayed, and then he responded to the initiation of God. In other words, he was so in tune with his Father, by his own admission, I and the Father are one, that he waited to see what God was initiating, and then he got on board. And folks, that's what we need to be doing today, to be putting our full reliance upon God, is that we need to be in fellowship with God. We need to be in clear communion with God so that we can see where God is working. You know, God is the initiator, and we need to be looking at what he's doing and then follow him. You know, a lot of people, when they find out what the word part of washing word means, they go, oh, that's interesting. That's intriguing. That's different. Well, yeah, it is in a way, but none of this is, quote, my idea. This is years in the making, and it's where I believe God has already been moving in what I believe is the verse by verse movement. I think, you know, that God is trying to raise up people that are not afraid to preach his entire gospel, his entire word, all of it, not just the parts that feel good. And so I'm doing this because I believe that God has already initiated a movement of fullness of gospel preaching, fullness of his word, the whole counsel of God. And so this is what Jesus is saying. He says he's looking for what God is doing, his Father's doing, and then he is following that or jumping into what God initiated. So Jesus delivers this truth, picking it up here in the end of verse 19. He says that what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Verse 22, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so in those verses, Jesus isn't skirting his prior announcement that he and the Father are one. In fact, everything he just said equates himself with God, culminating in the last part of verse 23 there, where he says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. But remember how this monologue started in verse 19. I tell you the truth, or verily, verily. And the moment he professed what he's about to say to be truth, the ears perked up. But the content of verse 20 through 23 that we just looked at causes an uproar. I mean, just like in a courtroom drama, when a witness says something that blows the case wide open, you've seen this on TV, what happens? There's a gasp, you know, that goes throughout the courthouse, or a muffled uproar, and then there's this chatter within the courtroom, and then what does the judge do? Order, order, he bangs the gavel. Well, what Jesus just said, even though he had their attention, by saying these things, he caused an uproar. He caused them to begin the courtroom chatter, as it were. You know, they were saying things, I'm sure, like, what did he just say? Is he really, you know, and there's this collective gasp. And then Jesus says, order, order. Well, where does he say this? Well, verse 24 is the equivalent of a judge trying to bring the courtroom back to order. And he does it in verse 24 by those words again. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Wow. There it is again. I tell you the truth. And again, even though they were uproared and beginning to muster among themselves, they stopped and they listened. Why? Because I talked about it last time. The truth, however offensive, is intriguing. And when he started off with, I tell you the truth, there is an intrigue about that. And we're going to examine 24 a little bit closer in a moment. But if you're listening to my voice, physically or metaphorically, raise your hand if you believe in God. And let me ask you, does that belief save you? Just believing the fact that there is a God? Because listen, to believe in God is no major feat. The book of James says even the demons believe there is a God, but they shudder. I mean, just look around. Creation screams of God. And so just to believe in God doesn't necessarily save you. You look at the intricacies of a human body, and that demands that there's a God creator. And you look at the solar system and the alignment of the stars and the planet, that proves that there is a God. But just believing in God or in a God is not salvation. Again, even the demons believe. You see, the devil cannot stop truth. And the truth is, he who believes in me believes in the one who sent me, as Jesus said. And so I would say, I could translate this to, you must believe God, not merely believe in God. Because a lot of people don't know there's a difference. Because believing that there is a God isn't that great of a feat. Again, if you look around at some of the things in this world, it has to be a God. But to believe God, that is to believe the things that he says, to believe that his son brings you salvation, to believe him and what he says about Jesus is true. Because if you don't believe God, the devil will distort the truth. I read a cute story one time. It said that once the devil was walking around with one of his cohorts, and they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of the truth, the devil replied. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? Asked the cohort. No, said the devil. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. Chuck Colson wrote this. A poll sheds light on the paradox of increased religiosity and decreased morality. According to sociologist Robert Bella, 81% of American people also say that they agree that an individual should arrive at his or her own religious beliefs independent of any church or synagogue. Thus, the key to the paradox is the fact that those who claim to be Christians are arriving at faith on their own terms, terms that make no demand on a behavior. For instance, a woman, Sheila, interviewed, embodies this attitude. I believe in God, she said. I can't remember the last time I went to church, but my faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. You see, believing in God is not going to save you. Lots of people do that. We need to not believe in God solely, but to simply believe God. And you ask, to believe what exactly? To believe that Jesus Christ is the central figure of all humanity of all times. In Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 11, it says, Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures and the elders fell down and worshipped him and said, Amen. Listen, that is none other than Jesus Christ. Nobody can be equated to Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Moses, not Mary, none of the prophets. And we are forced to confront the truth of Jesus's claim that he was God incarnate and that through him and him alone is eternal life. Don't just believe in God. Believe what God says about his son, Jesus Christ. And folks, I enjoy this time together with you, and I encourage you to come by the Washing Word if you need prayer. We'll be glad to stop and pray with you. Well, have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow at this time on this station.